Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the first of two summer cross-cultural reporting chapels. Today we'll be hearing from the group that traveled the farthest away, South Korea, with Elgo first, and then Quebec, and then the local context. And so we will just flow one right to the next. Let's have the South Korea folks come forward.
Good morning. Our cross-cultural went to South Korea for 3 weeks this past May, and I will just be doing an overview of what we did during the weeks. The first week, we were able to live with host families for the first few days and go to a local university and study Korean there. Then we went to the demilitarized zone, the border between North and South Korea, and learned a little bit of that conflict. The next week, we spent a few days in Seoul, the capital of South Korea, and then we broke up into groups and spent a few days in intentional communities. The last week, we toured around the country of South Korea, visiting many different organizations. Everyone who was on the trip had a great experience. And now a few people will tell you about these experiences.
So I'm going to talk about Seoul, which was probably the most enjoyable part of the trip for me. 50% of South Korea's population lives in Seoul and the surrounding sprawl that comes out of it. So it's very, very densely packed, lots of tall apartments that everyone is packed into. And one thing that was striking about that I thought about Seoul was in New York City, you have the main businesses on the main street, and there's not much else in the alleyways. But in South Korea, and in Seoul specifically, you go in the alleys, and there's just vendors, restaurants, just people selling all kinds of things, and it's just busy, busy, busy. And I really enjoyed it. There's always stuff happening in Seoul. And I just had a great time there.
I really, really, really enjoyed my trip to Korea. It was the first time I've been back to Korea since I was adopted when I was about 5 months. So it was a huge, impactful trip on my identity, who I am as a person, to connect kind of back to my culture. So in that aspect, it was so much fun. The only problem was everybody thought I was a translator, and I didn't know how to respond. So sometimes it was kind of interesting, especially in the taxis when I'm trying to describe going to like the fish market. I was like octopus and like it was pretty interesting. But you know, overall it was a great trip. One thing that really stuck out to me was the hospitality of the people in Korea. They were just absolutely amazing. It was really funny. They show hospitality with giving food. And so, man, I grubbed out so much during Korea. We would have a snack before dinner. We would have dinner, and then we would go out into the town, and then they would buy us more food. And then when we were driving home, they would ask us if we wanted to stop and get even more food. So it was just kind of cool how that respect was there. Also, just kind of how they helped us find different locations if we were lost. They would go out of their way to take us, 3 miles a different direction than they were going. And so it was really, really cool. And I believe that I learned something from that, going to a different country, being with the group of Americans, and them. Oh, we can watch this really quick, I guess. We got to dance to Psy, the song "Gentleman," with a bunch of Koreans at in some gym at the university that we were learning taking our language course. Oh, it was awesome. It was great. But yeah. Yeah. I look like Psy, kind of. but yeah, it was really impactful for me just to know that even though I was in a different country, totally different than mine, people are still going out of their way to get to know me, learn my culture, learn my language, and just talk to me as a person, as curiosity. And I believe that we all can learn from this and know that if we see somebody from a different culture or some other place here on campus, that we can connect with them and learn their culture just as much as Koreans wanted to learn ours. So, yeah, thank you.
Bonjour. My name is Rachel Coakley, and I, along with 13 other people, including our leaders, Jennifer Ulrich and Nancy Heisey, went on a three-week trip to Quebec. This morning, I will be talking about the forms of transportation we took while on our trip. Later, we will have others talk about host families, French class, and the Catholic Church. The way we got to Canada was by train. On May 17th, we arrived late at night in Washington, D.C. at Union Station. Our train was scheduled to leave at around 2 o'clock a.m. This was my first time ever riding on a train, so I had no idea what to expect. The train ride up to New York was mainly a blur because I slept the whole way, along with many other people on the train. Then, in New York, we took another train ride for about 11 hours into Montreal. My first train experience was fun, but I only wish the ride was shorter. The next day, I realized that another popular form of transportation on this trip would be walking. After being in a train all day before, it was nice to stretch our legs and walk up Mont Royal through the park and through the woods. Even though our house was in the middle of Montreal, having a park and woods close was nice for me, especially because I'm used to having the beautiful views of the valley. Throughout the 3 weeks we were in Quebec, we attended a few lectures that were hosted at a place called ETM. To get to the right bus stop, we had to walk a few blocks and wait for the bus to arrive. Most of the time, the buses were packed with people, and there were only a few occasions where a group had the bus almost to ourselves. The last form of transportation that I want to talk about is one that I will never forget, the metro. Back to the first day we arrived in Montreal, we hopped right onto the metro to take us to where we were going to be staying. All of us were exhausted after a long trip and had to pack ourselves and our luggage into an already packed metro car. After the 3 weeks of being on a cross-cultural, I felt like I was really starting to become a pro at understanding all the public transportation systems. When living in a city like Montreal, I found that having a car would almost be somewhat pointless because of all the other opportunities of transportation.
I'm Dasha, and I just want to briefly talk about the French part of our trip. For our cross-cultural, we stayed at a place in Montreal called Maison de l'Amitié, and that just translates to House of Friendship. And in this house where we stayed, there are language classes that are offered, such as Spanish, French, and English, and our main focus was French. So we took French classes just with our cross-cultural group, nobody from the community. And we had little assignments to do in our French journals as little homework assignments. Our French classes were held on Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 in the evening. So because our classes were in the evening, it was right after dinner, so it was kind of rough timing. But many times after class, we like to treat ourselves to ice cream, so we'd go out into the city and find an ice cream place. But our French-speaking opportunities didn't stop there. We were encouraged to utilize our French while we were roaming around the city, such as asking where something is or ordering our food in French. Another great way that we got to learn French was when we did our homestays in Joliet. The families that took us in were advised to speak to us only in French, but that didn't last very long. But they did go back from French to English and then back to French. So it was a very good experience and a great way to kind of immerse yourself into the language. And the last thing I wanted to mention was the phrase that you might see up on the PowerPoint. It'll say, je me souviens. And that translates to "I remember," and this refers to the official motto of Quebec, Canada, which can be located on the coat of arms of Quebec, as well as many other license plates on the vehicles.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Souter, and near the beginning of the trip, we were very fortunate to be able to spend some time with some host families, and you may have seen a picture of myself and Jonathan with our host family earlier in the PowerPoint. The family we were staying with was composed of a father, mother, and three young boys. The oldest boy's name was Jonas, and he was 6 years old. And the middle child's name was Elias, and he was 4 years old. And the youngest child was Joachim, and he was only 2 years old. The family was missionaries in Canada, but they were originally from Switzerland. They were working with lower-income, underprivileged children, as well as doing a church plant in the city. We had a really good time with this family. Every morning we were woken up around 5 a.m. by the wild screaming of boys as they ran down the steps to wake us up and make sure we were ready for breakfast. If we didn't instantly get up when they came down the steps, we were then jumped on and hair pulled. I don't have much hair, but you get the idea. Until we would get out of bed. Jonas, it was kind of an interesting setup because the mother and father spoke English relatively well, so we could communicate with them, but the three young boys only spoke French, so it was kind of difficult to communicate with them at first. The oldest boy, Jonas, had a slight understanding that we couldn't speak French, so he would ask us a question, and when we'd kind of, you know, put our hands up in the air or say no, he got the idea, but the middle son, Elias, had no understanding that we didn't know French, and he just thought we were ignoring him. So he'd ask us a question, and we'd say, I'm sorry, I'm not really sure what you're saying. And then he would proceed to ask us the question over and over again, each time getting louder, until finally he was just screaming in our face because he was so frustrated that we couldn't answer his questions. So I think towards the end of the trip, he was starting to get more of a understanding, but we found a lot of interesting ways to communicate just with gestures and things like that, and it was really awesome to see that you could communicate with people who spoke a different language than you just by gestures and other ways other than using your language. And Jonathan and I had a great time with this family, and we learned a lot about communicating with others who use a different language, and I will always remember the hospitality that the family showed us during our short stay with them.
Hi, I'm Regina, and our last weekend in Quebec, we went to Quebec City, which is about 100 miles north of Montreal, which was a really, probably my favorite part of the trip. It was like stepping into 1700 Europe. It had not changed, and before we left, we went to Notre Dame Cathedral. It is the Diocese of Quebec, which was a really nice honor because I'm Catholic and I've seen the Vatican and St. Peter's, but this was probably the most beautiful church I've ever seen. You'll probably see pictures in it. It was gold everywhere. You had the bishop presenting the mass. You had probably 8 priests, deacons, a couple cardinals. The entire choir was male, and it was really gorgeous. And it was really neat hearing it in French. I've always heard mass in Spanish, English, because I go to Blessed Sacrament and we have a bilingual service, and I've heard it in Latin once, but it was really neat hearing it in French, and it was actually really pretty to hear it in French and try to figure out what he was saying. It's like, oh, I know what that is, but I just don't know what he's saying it because it's in a different language, like right here. It was a huge church. It was probably 3 times the size of this room, and it was just really gorgeous, and it was really nice seeing a beautiful city that I've always heard about, and that's our trip.
Hello, I'm Belinda, and we did the local context cross-cultural this summer. We had an awesome time. We had an awesome leader, Deanne Durham. My experience started with a video, and the video was The Danger of a Single Story. And what I learned from this video was that at times we're very narrow-minded because we go off of what other people tell us is their opinion, their story, and that's how we form our opinions of others. But from there, we got to go around our community here in Harrisonburg. We visited Newtown, which was, some of us know as the northeast side of Harrisonburg. There we got to talk and hear Carrie Sampson. She gave us a little talk about how she grew up during the segregation here in the area, mostly in Rockingham County, and about the Lucy Sims organization there. And she told us some of the challenges about her neighborhood over there in Newtown and all the changes it has gone through over the years. We also had an opportunity to have a very delicious meal prepared by African Americans here in our community, and it was some awesome food. Isabel Castell, a EMU grad here, she came to our class and also shared with us some of the challenges and battles that she has been going through since her graduation from here due to her being an undocumented citizen. And that was some enlightenment to me, because I got to hear a little bit about the immigration. And you know, there's that single story there. We always hear what people tell us, that she really shared some facts with me that I had not realized, all the struggles that undocumented residents have to go through here. And some of them have, it's the circumstances that they can't even, it's out of their hands. They can't really help themselves. So it was interesting to hear her story. And we also visit the Brethren Mennonite Heritage Center, which is located up behind Harrisonburg High School up on the hill. It's beautiful up there. And there's a lot of history there about the Brethren and the Mennonites and some of the issues that they took in their hands and helping the African Americans during when they were freed, or helping when to become free. And we also, one of the biggest points of our highlights of our cross-cultural was going to D.C. for a weekend. And while we were there, Deanna challenged us to use our census while we explored the city. Not to look at it as a tourist, but look at it as someone, as part of that city. To try different foods, to go around the different blocks to see how the challenge, to see how they've changed. And that was really interesting, to just open your eyes up that way to the city and not go in there as a tourist. I think this local cross-cultural context experience allowed me to see how little I know about the area I live in. I learned that I had a lot of misconceptions about people from different cultures. And mostly, I just wanted to say that I think we just don't realize all the diversity we have here in our area. And I think it has changed my outlook on just this community here.
Good job. My name is Sarah Baker. I wrote some reflections on our local context trip. And I think it's safe to say that these thoughts and feelings were evident and shared with my fellow peers that took the class. Ever since starting EMU 4 years ago, the cross-cultural program has sparked curiosity and excitement inside me. I've never traveled outside of the U.S. and not very far inside of it, to be honest. I thought, wow, how great of an opportunity to go and explore the world and the people in it. You know, many people don't have that. But it also sparked anxiety and worry. I'm a single mother, and the thought of leaving to go so far for so long scared me tremendously. When this wonderful woman, Deanna Durham, told me about the local context class, it was like a life raft. I could fulfill my cross-cultural credits without having to leave my son. To be honest again, I was disappointed, because really, what could I learn from a place that I was born and raised? At 26 years old, what could this class teach me that I didn't already know? Boy, was I wrong. There were places right in my backyard that I didn't know existed, areas I knew of but really didn't know about, topics that we addressed and studied in class that I thought I knew about but didn't really understand. This class has had an outstanding impact on me. The places we went and the people we interacted with changed me forever. How I think and feel, and who I want to be in the future. This class gave me experiences and knowledge that I will never forget. Without this class, I would have never known about Zenda or Newtown. I would have never heard inspiring stories or met such strong, courageous individuals. Now I can go on to share my knowledge and experiences with others in hope of changing many single stories and making my valley a better place. And after our DC trip, we took a weekend DC trip, I wrote this poem that I'd like to share with everybody. It's called DC. Lights, sirens, and city sounds, black, yellow, and brown all around. Everyone rushing with no attention paid to the many heads that have no place to be laid. What is justice without oppression? Sadness and pain with hungry aggression. Lives destroyed all for a dollar sign. Built it all new, an expensive design. Make it pretty so everything's all right. Don't discriminate, but that house is white. Built on colored backs by their hand, without reward, only more demand. The city created beggars and riches, starving people in line for soup kitchens. Sleeping in doorways and eyes without hope, doing what they can to survive and cope. Like ants in a line, every day is the same. A wonderful city making its people lame. One nation under God is what we say, but how is that when we see the devil's work every day? Thank you.
Thank you. Each group that prepared this report, the reports for today, it's clear that you've been engaging other cultures, other people, global connections, even in this county, right? We'll hear from two more groups, the one that traveled to Bolivia and the Galapagos Islands and Honduras on Friday. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these opportunities of engaging cultures broader than that which is most familiar. We ask you to be with the people from South Korea who hosted our students and faculty. May they continue to be changed as well, to be aware of how they've been stretched and grown, the way they have connections with some people here in Virginia, in the United States. God bless those who hosted and engaged with the people who traveled to Quebec. May they remember their own history, yes, but also engaging with those who were curious, those who wanted to learn from them. And God, thank you for the opportunity for cross-cultural learning, even right here in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County and DC. We thank you for the people who extended hospitality from Newtown, from Zenda, and from the Mennonite Brethren Heritage Center and the other places. Bless them. May we continue to relate to those in the local context with the same fervor and energy, curiosity and interest as we relate to those who live across the other side of the globe. We thank you for changed hearts and minds. And we pray all of this with grateful hearts. In the name of Christ, amen. And go in peace and do return Friday for more.